Welcome to the Faith for All podcast. This week, we will be listening to a sermon from Pastor Dana O'Brien's sermon series on the book of James. This series ran in January and February 2024. We hope you enjoy this message and that it offers some meaning for your life.
From James 3, beginning at verse 13, who is the wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So what causes these fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you might spend what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. He gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and the judge, and you are not keeping it but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver, only one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you. Who are you to judge your neighbor? The word of the Lord. Another bright and sunshiny reading from James, right? Okay, so as I mentioned, today we are in week 4 of our 5-week look at the letter of James. And if you thought James might become kinder as we moved on, as you heard from today's reading, not so much, okay? So while I know that you are all really excited to dive right into today's reading, first let's get a quick recap of where we have been these last 3 weeks, because it's key to move forward. We have to know where we're coming from in order to move forward. So James' letter is all about living a life of integrity, okay? A life of integrity where what we do matches who we say we are, what we say we believe, okay? James does this by focusing on 2 questions. The first question is, who is God? And in week 1, James told us about the God who loves us and is always with us, especially in the really difficult times, right? James told us about this God who is constantly at work in us, and even in those hard times, God is making something good come out of it. God's last words, we got to remember this, are always resurrection, always new life, especially as we move into this Lenten season and get toward Easter. James then turns to the second question. Who are we? We know who God is, so who are we? And James starts by taking us back to Genesis, okay? Reminding that we were created in God's very image, okay? We are the first fruits of God's kingdom, gifted and blessed by God to reflect that kingdom to others. That's our identity. That's our identity. And to live lives of integrity, we live out of that identity wherever we find ourselves, okay? What we do reflects who we say we are, who we are. Now, to help us understand, I just love this analogy. To help us understand, James presents this analogy to contrast people who live with integrity against people who don't, okay? So we each look into a mirror and we see who we are, right? Normal mirror, right? But when we look into this mirror, we see who God created us to be, who God created us to be. We see those first fruits of the kingdom. We see God's image bearers. We see those children of God. But, says James, if we see them, but then we don't let that identity impact who we live, who we are, when we walk away from the mirror, it's as if we've completely forgotten who we are. We've completely forgotten identity. So 2 weeks ago, We looked at what it meant to live out our identity in how we spoke, okay, how we spoke. As God's children, as God's image bearers, we're called to speak life-giving words to everyone. Everyone, people, everyone. That's the hard part, okay? And hopefully, we've been really intentional these last couple weeks. We even had homework. Be really intentional to speak life-giving words to people we meet. Okay, then last week, we were reminded. James reminded us. And I say reminded because this is something we all know. James reminded us that we are called to live out our faith by doing God's work. Real faith is transformative. It propels us to do good works all over the place. We just can't help ourselves. So I hope this last week that's exactly how you live, doing good works all over the place. Hope you were really intentional about asking God to help you see the opportunities throughout your day to positively impact others, right? To live live out your identity. Live out your identity. Now, you may think that would be the end, right? What more could James possibly have to say to us, right? And if you're someone who knows who you are and who always acts accordingly, James is indeed done with you, okay? You can tune out now. You can go home. You can go out, grab some coffee and a cookie, okay? Because James has nothing more to say to you. I don't see people running for the door. And there's a reason for that, because the rest of this sermon and the rest of James is for people who look in that mirror and then we walk away and sometimes we do completely forget who we are. This sermon is for those of us, and that is certainly me, who more often than I wish live much more like the world around me than I do as a child of God's kingdom. It's just the way it works for me. As you already heard, James has some very challenging words for those of us who forget who we are and lose our integrity. He never says anything quietly. It's always in your face. Anyway, he's already noted the importance of keeping one's faith unpolluted by the world around us. We touched upon that a little bit last week. In today's passage, he addresses that same issue, but this week he addresses it in terms of wisdom. Is our wisdom from God? Or is it from the world? Does our wisdom, and therefore, and with the wisdom comes our values, how we live, okay? Does that come from God? Or have we co-opted the world's wisdom? In which case, the world's values are going to guide how we live, okay? And we know that these are very, 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 have I said enough varies? Very different ways to live, right? We know that God's wisdom and values are countercultural. They're upside down. They are often antithetical to the way that the world's wisdom and values, that the way that would prompt us to live. So you remember last week we had the picture of the fish swimming upstream, okay? That's what it looks like when we're living Jesus' values and God's values and the rest of the world is living the world's values. And my even more favorite analogy is last fall when we looked at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, okay, where Jesus drew a really clear distinction about the values of the way the world lives and the upside down values of God's kingdom. Now, you remember, it was like Jesus trying to teach us to drive on the left side of the road when everyone else was driving on the right, okay? It's backwards. You almost have to relearn, if anybody's tried to drive on the left, you have to relearn everything you thought you knew about driving. And that's how we look, like that giant accident up there. That's how we look when we live out God's wisdom and values in a world where people live so very, very differently, like the opposite, okay? Now, like our faith, James tells us that the source of our wisdom and values, do they stem from God or do they stem from the world, okay? The source is reflected in what we do. Source is reflected in what we do, how we live. And that makes sense, right? If it's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. What's important to us is always reflected in how we live. Listen to what somebody says, they say. Look at what they do. Look at how they behave, okay? So, says James, if we've bought into the world's values, it's easy to tell. It's easy to tell because we're going to act as if we're number one. We're number one. It's all about me. It's all about me, people, right? James uses words like envy and selfish ambition and boastful. But he's saying our focus is on ourselves, okay? Our focus is always on ourselves. My freedoms, my rights, my privileges, my entitlements. How do I get what I want and what I believe I'm entitled to, what I believe is mine, right? And that is perfectly consistent with our world, where individualism and competition and scarcity are emphasized. The pie is only so big, people, and you need to make sure that you get your share, right? And getting what you want or what you need or what the world tells you you want or need supposedly leads to happiness and contentment and security. It leads to the good life, right? The good life. But James tells us that in reality, living by the world's values destroys relationships. It destroys the relationships with people. It destroys our relationship with God. You guys, there's no good life. There's no good life in that. Instead, James tells us this constant focus on ourselves, it leads to conflict. It leads to disputes among each of us and between us and God. You know, when we can't get what we want, when we feel we need to protect what we have, we put people down, we keep people out. We often live so far from our identity as God's image bearers that we wouldn't even recognize ourselves if we checked in a mirror, okay? We've completely lost the answer to those two questions. Who is God? Who are we? In fact, we sometimes live as if the answers to those questions were switched around. And we ourselves are God. We are the ones who make the rules. We are the ones whose will should be done, right? James, give us an example at the end of our reading. He says, when we judge others, that's exactly what we're doing. We're putting ourselves in God's place because only God can judge. Such a really good thing to remember as we walk through our days. Now, James is writing 2,000 years ago, but he's pretty much got us pegged. He's got us pegged. We live in a world of conflict, of polarization, of division, because we've got a whole bunch of people who are concerned primarily about themselves. A whole bunch of us. My rights, my freedoms, my desires, my needs come first, and they often come at the expense of others, right? We claim to be followers of Jesus, but oftentimes we do not look any different than the world around us. And yes, this is really sad, sometimes we look even worse. Sometimes we look worse than the world around us. We Christians appear more hypocritical, more judgmental, more superior, more self-focused than the world around us, which is pretty darn hard to do, you guys. And sometimes we even try to use the world's power and force and might in the name of Christianity, in Jesus' name, right? Everyone should pray in school. Everyone should read certain books and not read other books, as if we had to somehow protect God and our Christian way of life. You guys, how silly does that sound? As if God needs our protection, right? As if Jesus would ever force his values on others. But yet we go and do it. And so if you think that maybe James is talking about other Christians, but not us, not me for sure, then you've missed the boat. Then I've missed the boat. Because here's the thing. Jesus never, never calls us to start with others. Instead, we always, always, always start with ourselves. We turn that mirror on ourselves. We always look first into our own hearts to see where, not if, but where, people, not if, but where we have fallen. In this case, where we have adopted the world's values, where we have put ourselves first, where we have contributed to conflicts and divisions by what we say or what we do. None of us have clean hands. None of us. So I'm guessing it's not hard for all of us to think of ways in which we've lived by the world's me too, me first values, right? Now, maybe it's not as if we've completely aligned with the world. And I'm guessing that with most of us, this is the case. We've not completely aligned with the world. Maybe it's just sometimes. It's just sometimes, guys, right? Shouldn't we get credit for sometimes? We say we're followers of Jesus. And usually we are. Usually, that's like more than half. But some of what Jesus says, some of what Jesus calls to do, okay, like, you know, that loving our enemy stuff, that turning the other cheek stuff, that going the extra mile stuff. You guys, that stuff is really hard. I mean, that's really hard. So maybe we should pick and choose. Maybe that's indeed what we do. We pick and choose where we'll obey God and where we won't. Or maybe we hedge our bets. Sure, we trust God to take care of us. But maybe we should also do what we can to make sure that we keep a hold of what is ours and get what we're entitled to, right? Yeah. You think that would count for something? Sorry, James says. Sorry. Just part isn't good enough. Just half-hearted loyalty isn't going to do it. It's one, it's the other. If you are a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. Like, and here's where the adulterer part, like an adulterer who disregards his marriage vows or her marriage vows. We have played false with God, right? We have all gotten into bed with the world's values, and we have become God's enemies. Our problem, says James, is a spiritual one: how to get right with God so that we can get right with others. And if James sounds like an Old Testament prophet, that's exactly what we've got here, because just like an Old Testament prophet, James calls us back to God. It's your choice, he says. It's your choice. Like the father waiting for his prodigal son to come to his senses, God is waiting for us. And when we again turn to God, Okay, we're missing page 7. Well, I don't know where it is. Okay, so we're just going to have to wing it. Wow. Okay. When we again... Yeah, it's on my desk someplace. Why don't you run and get it? When we again turn to God, when we again submit ourselves to God, God is waiting for us, just like that father waiting, and God runs right down the road to come and meet us. Okay? So, God says, and I'm trying to remember what it was I said. So God says, deny yourselves and come to me. God says, when you come near to me, I'll come near to you. God says, I want to give you more and more and more grace. God says, I will give you the wisdom you need to live more as my child in the world, to be the person that I created you to be when you pray, not for my will to be done, but for God's will to be done, right? As soon as we start praying that, God wants to give us what we ask for, but God wants us to ask for the things that coincide with God's will and not our will, okay? And when we do that, and now I have to go back to the Bible. Jeez, what a bummer. When we do that, we're going to live exactly like God called us to live. We're going to live, oh, goody. Is that it? Oh, yeah, I'll just use this. Okay, you have to wing it. You have to wing it then. Okay, now wait, hang on. Okay, and so we are, sorry guys, we're constantly invited to live into a deeper and more intimate relationship with the God who loves us. And when we return, and when we respond to that invitation, God's wisdom and grace informs our hearts, and we want more of God wants. We live more like Jesus. We live like the person God called us to be, okay? Here's the thing. We go back to the beginning. You want the good life, says God? It's found in me. It's found in me, right? It's found in living out my values and wisdom. It's found in living lives of love. And this is what James says, living lives of love and gentleness and mercy without partiality or hypocrisy. Instead of instigating conflicts, we're called to be peacemakers and bridge builders. Instead of boasting and promoting ourselves, we're called to live with humility. We're called to recognize that we don't know everything. And we're called to be curious and open to others, right? That's the good life, you guys. Living as people of integrity who lives out what God calls us to be. And here's the irony. I'm back. Here's the irony. I spent a lot of time, almost the entire sermon, talking about the world's values and how they are so opposed to God's kingdom values. And that is true. Okay? That is so true. But here's the thing. Even as our world and our nation become increasingly polarized, keep going, polarized nation, increasingly polarized and divided, keep going, with people seemingly becoming more self-focused and partisan and isolated, right? That's what's happening all around us. But people will tell you that's not what they want. When you talk to individuals, that's not what they want. Most people do not want this. They don't want to fight with everyone all the time. They want to be kind to others. They want to receive kindness in return. They want to feel as if we are in this together and that we can rely upon each other, that we can trust each other. That's what most people are looking for, okay? But that is not what they are finding. But church, and I'm speaking to all of us, but church, it is what we have to offer. It is what followers of Jesus, what people who live out God's wisdom and God's kingdom values, it's what we are all about, okay? We need to be out there reflecting God's love and peace, offering those around us another way, right? Because all they look out in the world and they see division and polarization and hatred and fighting. We need to offer them another way, a better way of life, the way of Jesus, right? The way of Jesus, a humble king who cares about others before himself, A kingdom where the first are last and everyone is loved. A God who created all of us in God's image and loves us enough to die for. That's our job. That's our calling. It is very, very simple, to live as the people God created us to be. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you're able to bring some of these concepts into your life. Come back next week for another episode of Faith for All. Faith for All was created by Cross of Glory Church. If you'd like more information on Cross of Glory, please visit our webpage at crossofglory.com, where you can learn more about the church, see our upcoming events, and watch previous services and sermons. You can also find us on Facebook and YouTube. Everyone, and we do mean everyone, is welcome to join us at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning for worship on our website, Facebook, YouTube, or in person at 14719 West 163rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. If you enjoyed this podcast, please tell your friends, family, and anyone else you can think of about it. Faith for All is available on Podbean, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find podcasts. Todd Mazera created our original music. John Uzzardo engineered the sound. Jeff Wanderson handled the production duties. And I'm your friend and humble announcer, Andrew Morin. Thank you for joining us.